From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
An increase in hostilities between the U.S. and Russia. Russia's ambassador to Lebanon, Alexander Zasipkin, warned on Tuesday that, quote, Russian forces will confront any U.S. aggression on Syria by intercepting the missiles and striking their launch pads, closed quote. That warning followed a series of threats from the White House and from the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, on Monday. Russia's ambassador to the United Nations, Vasily Nebenzia, issued a terse statement on Monday at the UN Security Council on the matter.
Thank you, sir. Sir, if you believe it is a great pleasure for me to speak about the issue that we will talk about now, to make a statement on the side, then you are mistaken. But unfortunately, the situation is such that I will have to say a great deal today, and it will be incumbent upon you to listen to what I have to say. We are grateful to Mr. Demistura for his briefing, as well as to Mr. Markram. The Russian Federation demanded called for this meeting to be held on the agenda item, threats to international peace and security. Insofar as we are deeply alarmed at the fact that in a number of capitals, above all in Washington, and those blindly following it, London and Paris, there was a deliberate policy undertaken to stoke international tensions. The leadership of the United States, of the United Kingdom, and of France, without any justifications and without considering the consequences, have engaged in a confrontational policy against Russia and Syria, and they are prompting others to follow suit. A broad arsenal of methods is being leveraged: slander, insults, hawkish rhetoric, blackmail, sanctions, and threats to use force against the sovereign state. Russia is being unpardonably threatened. The tone with which this is being done has gone beyond the threshold of what is acceptable, even during the Cold War. Such boorishness against my country is something which your predecessors did not take the liberty to undertake. What is next? We recall a rhetorical question which the Russian president put forward in 2015 from the United Nations General Assembly to our Western partners, above all the United States, concerning their reckless geopolitical experiments in the Middle East. Do you understand now what you have done? And the response at that time hung in the air. But there is a response. No, you do not understand. Just as you fail to understand what you are doing now. The lack of a clear strategy on any issue is appalling not just to us. It confounds not only us. This is confounding to the majority of those seated here. But they have decided not to openly put this forward to you. Following you, everywhere you go, regardless of what everything you touch, chaos is left behind. In the brackish waters of which you try to take out fish, something. But only mutant fish are being taken out. I will put another rhetorical question forward. Do you understand the dangerous threshold towards which you are bringing the world? One of the areas where there's hostility that is most stark, that is on Syria. The terrorists and extremists supported by external sponsors are enduring a defeat there. Let us recall that we are talking about those terrorists and extremists who you supplied, financed, and deployed in the country to oust a legitimate government. And now it is clear why this is causing hysteria among among those who invested political and material capital in these dark forces. Recently, thanks to the efforts undertaken by Russia, in line with the implementation of Security Council resolutions, a large-scale operation has been undertaken to lift the siege of Eastern Ghouta. Its residents, for a number of years, were forced to endure the mockery and torture of fighters. More than 150,000 civilians were evacuated from that Damascus suburb, purely voluntarily, with the requisite security conditions being provided. Tens of thousands of them have already been able to return to the liberated areas, and many met with their relatives. There has been no change in the democratic composition, which is being shouted about by supporters of the Syrian opposition, has occurred. These are lies. With the leaders of armed groups, there were difficult negotiations that took place. As a result, many of them left the areas they had occupied with full respect for guarantees for their safety. Incidentally, during these transportation operations, several attempts were undertaken to stage terrorist attacks when the militants attempted to reach the buses with the Shahid belts. Others prefer to settle their status with the Syrian authorities. Thanks to presidential amnesty, they now will be able to return to civilian life, and subsequently it is possible they may enter the Syrian security forces. We're talking about implementation of a UN principle, demobilization, disarmament, and reintegration. However, this is positive dynamic is not to the liking of some. Foreign sponsors through Western countries were willing to take up any straw just to maintain a hotbed of terrorist resistance at a striking distance from the Syrian capital. This for the fighters to continue to terrorize ordinary civilians, to seize their food, and to request from the international to beg of the international community that humanitarian assistance be delivered. Incidentally, they were not prepared to share medicine with ordinary civilians, as was shown in the inspection of the strongholds left behind by the fighters. As was the case in the past in eastern Aleppo, improvised hospital facilities in basements were full of medicine, which, as a result of sanctions, Western sanctions, were not provided to Damascus and other government-controlled areas. Also, large storage heights were found, as were the bodies, the corpses of people who had been subjected to torture. We are stunned at the scale of the tunnels that were being used by jihadists. In some of them, small trucks were able to freely move about. These surprising underground facilities brought together the positions of groups who were viewed by some as moderate, and they were linked to the strongholds of Jabhat al-Nusra. On 6 April, the new head of Jaish al-Islam, following instructions of sponsors, of derailed evacuation of the fourth party of fighters from Duma and resumed the rocket and mortar firing against residential areas in Damascus. The firing targeted Meze 86, Ishalvurur, Abu Rumana, and Omiyadov.
Umayyad.
According to official information, 8 died, 37 civilians were wounded. Unfortunately, we failed to see statements from Western capitals condemning the shelling of a historical district of Damascus. The following day, 7 April, fighters accused the Syrian authorities of dropping barrel bombs with toxic substances. At the same time, the versions were being mixed up. It was either called sarin, at times chlorine, or at times a mix of toxic gases. Based on a well-known scheme, these rumors were immediately taken up by those financed by Western capitals. I'm referring to NGOs and the white helmets who are mendaciously acting under the cloak of health professionals. And these reports were also taken up and transferred to media outlets. It behooves us once again to state that many of these dubious opposition structures have a clear list of the email addresses of representatives of Security Council members, which shows that some of our colleagues with a reckless approach towards their status are leaking sensitive information to their protégés. Incidentally, all should recall the way that accidentally the white helmets put on the internet and a video which showed preparation for staging a so-called victim of an alleged attack perpetrated by the Syrian army. In 2011, the chemical serial began, and this continues to be shown to us with the calculation for each new episode to be more resonant than the one prior to it. In Washington, London, and Paris, immediately conclusions were drawn, pinning blame on the Syrian authorities, or, as they call it, the regime. Has nobody but the question to themselves, why does Damascus need this? There were insults against the Syrian government. However, the Syrian leadership. However, the main burden of responsibility was pinned on Russia and Iran, and I think that this is hardly surprising to anybody at this point. Now this has been done based on current trends immediately without any investigation being conducted. On 8 April, the Syrian troops sweeping through Al-Shimuna near Duma found a homemade manufacturing area of Jaish al-Islam to manufacture chemical substances artisanally. Chlorine agents of German manufacture and special equipment were also discovered. In Istanbul, the opposition journalist Asad Hamid, who is based, put on his Twitter page a video allegedly from the area of the incident. This has probably from the white helmets. An unknown individual is next to a handmade bomb with a chemical which allegedly struck the bedroom of a building in Duma. All of this is accompanied by comments about another attack by the regime against civilians. The staged nature of this action is something of which there's no doubt. The trajectory of the alleged trajectory of the bombs is unnatural. Fell through a roof and naturally, calmly fell into a bed without damaging that bed. A wooden bed without damaging the wooden bed clearly was placed there prior to preparation for the staging. And there's an interesting coincidence. The chemical provocation in Duma on Saturday, 7 April, occurred immediately after the U.S. delegation at the Security Council received instructions to convene for today, Monday, 9 April, to convene expert-level consultations on their draft resolution on the mechanism to investigate incidents with chemical weapons. The initial text today has far-reaching changes and revisions. Under these obscure circumstances, of course, we need to get to the bottom of what is taking place. However, we need to do so in an honest, objective, impartial way without disregarding the principle of presumption of innocence and by no means prejudging the outcome of the investigation. Despite the provocations, the Russian specialists continued their efforts to resolve the situation in eastern Ghouta. In afternoon, 8 April, Sunday, following a new agreement that was reached, the evacuation of Jaish al-Islam fighters resumed. Following the liberation of Duma from fighters, Russian specialists were sent there, specialists on radiological, chemical, and biological protection to collect evidence and information. They took soil samples, which showed the lack of nerve agent and chlorine-containing substances. Locals were interviewed about the cessation of resistance to the fighters. Not a single local resident confirmed the chemical attack having taken place. A local hospital, there were no reports about symptoms from a toxic substance such as chlorine. Other medical facilities are not located in Duma. The bodies of the dead as a result of contamination were not found. Medical personnel and residents have no information about their potential burial areas. Thereby, the use of sarin and chlorine is not confirmed. Incidentally, the representatives of the Syrian Red Crescent refuted the statement allegedly made on their behalf on the delivery of assistance to victims of toxic gas.
I call upon those who will speak against me, slandering the regime,
to proceed from the premise that there was no chemical weapons attack. Sweden drew up a draft resolution to investigate the incident. In principle, in order to conduct an investigation, OPCW needs no resolution. However, we are willing to consider this resolution. Today, we propose that what you envisage in your project, in your draft, be done. Let the OPCW, which through the technical, the Director General of the Technical Secretariat, Mr. Zumduk, stated a willingness to get to the bottom of what took place. Let it immediately, tomorrow, fly to Damascus. There, the Syrian authorities and Russian troops will provide conditions to travel to the area of the alleged incident for them to familiarize themselves with the situation. Incidentally, this is what President Trump and other Western leaders called upon us to undertake. As for the possibility of a chemical attack being a possibility, this was repeatedly warned about by the Syrians at the Russian Center for the Reconciliation of Opposing Sides. It was stated that in order to take a film of a chemical attack, and I put this in quotes, the necessary equipment has already been brought in. We, too, made the relevant statements of the Security Council. You've heard these warnings. You've heard, but deliberately ignore them insofar as they do not align with the doctrinal views of those who sleep with and see an elimination of a legitimate government in another Arab country. Still, what is not being looked into is the fact that a significant number of chemical weapons were discovered November, December 2017 in Syrian territory that had been liberated from fighters at terrorist storage sites in Zakhariya and Al-Wafir in Hama province. 21-ton containers were discovered. More than 50 munitions were found, which contained toxic chemicals. In Tel Adle, Idlib province, 24 tons of toxic chemicals were discovered, and this is believed to be chlorine. At the storage site in Madamia, 30 kilometers northeast of Damascus, 140 and 160 millimeter caliber munitions were found. Plastic canisters were found with phosphorus. With phosphorus substances and compounds. In the area of Asarita, Idlib province, an industrial complex was found for the synthesis of various toxic substances. 54 chemical munitions were found, with 44 chemical containers were found, and these could be used for the manufacture of toxic substances. From the beginning of this year alone, four instances were reported of fighters using toxic chemicals from against positions where government troops are located in Sudj and El-Mshaif. More than 100 Syrian troops were hospitalized. 3 March, when Hazrama and Aftris were liberated in eastern Ghouta, fighters from government troops discovered in a tunnel an underground artisanal manufacturing site to make chemical munitions of a handmade nature. And this is far from a full list. It points to the wrong wrongdoings and abuses by the irreconcilable opposition. However, the OPCW's expert being sent there to identify evidence is not something which we see people eager to do. We demand that OPCW verify all of those areas. Access can be provided. Also, information is surfacing that at Tanf, the camp, American instructors trained a number of groups of fighters to stage provocations with chemical weapons used to create a pretext for a strike. It was clear to us that the attempt to shelter terrorists and at the same time to punish the regime so hated by some Western capitals will sooner or later be undertaken. Speaking heads on television screens sought to repeat last year's attack against Syria. Last year's strike, this morning, there were missile strikes against the Tifor airfield in Homs province. We are deeply troubled by such actions. Provocations in Duma echo last year's incident in Han Shihun. The unifying moment aspect is the fact that there's a planned nature of these attacks. Analysis of the U.S.'s operations prior to and after the incident in Han Shihun in April 2007 shows that Washington ahead of time prepared for its operation. The U.S. Porter and Ross naval destroyers from 4 to 7 April last year, that is when the toxic substance was used in Han Shihun before the strike against the Shayrat airbase, were already present in the Mediterranean waters where they were engaged in planned operations. They did not enter the ports where an exchange of munitions could have been taken place by increasing the number of cruise missiles. Inter alia, 4 to 5 April, the Porter and destroyer was located southeast of Sicily, and the Ross naval destroyer was in passage from the Rota naval base in the area more south of Sardinia. Later, 6 April, an expedited movement of both naval destroyers was reported in the firing positions more southwest of Cyprus. From there, on 7 April, they conducted a mass strike against the Shayrat airfield. At the same time, the number of Tomahawk missiles that were launched, 59 units, surpassed the overall munitions for two naval destroyers if they had actually been engaged in the anti-missile defense operations that had been assigned to them. And for that purpose, only 48 units were necessary. Thereby, U.S. naval vessels, even prior to the chemical incident in Han Shihun, entered military service with strike, fit for strike equipment, that is with an increase of cruise missiles that were necessary for the anti-missile defense. And this could attest to prior planning by Washington of an act, a strike against Damascus. The fake news on Saturday from Duma are geared inter alia towards drawing attention of society away from the Skripal case, which was muddled up by London, and pooling and throwing on Russia completely unconfirmed accusations, and with the aim of pooling solidarity to build an anti-Russian alliance. Now the English are stepping away from a transparent investigation and putting forward specific responses for the questions put, and at the same time they are sweeping up their tracks. During the Security Council meeting 5 April on the Skripal case, we cautioned that an attempt to unjustifiably place blame on us of having had a hand in the Salisbury incident was linked to the Syrian chemical dossier. Yesterday, this issue saw new interesting developments. For the moment, the UK Foreign Minister Boris Johnson continues to disclose the things against Russia, and attempt to be witty, and here is the following pearl. Experts of a British naval experts south of Cyprus intercepted on the day of Skripal's poisoning. Intercepted reports from Damascus suburbs to Moscow, and this is what Times is reporting. It contains the following sentence.
Посылка
the phrase, the message has been delivered.
Parcel.
The parcel has been delivered, and two individuals successfully left. This
turns out to be part of the intelligence information
provided by London to allies prior to the expulsion of Russian diplomats. However, is it not clear that there is an irrefutable link here? Is that not clear to all? Syria, Russia, Salisbury. I would hint to the British intelligence services, and I will do so without charge. Another powerful course.
Step.
Why would not propose that Novichok, which is so light now, was received, this was reached Salisbury directly from Syria by parcel to cover up their tracks?
Какое-то убожество.
This is a complete mockery here.
Посол Хейли на днях заявила, что Россия
Haley
никогда не будет дружить с Соединенными Штатами.
Will never be a friend of the United States.
Хочу на это сказать.
And I wish to respond to
Дружба,
that.
Дело взаимное
Friendship
и добровольное.
Is something which is both reciprocal and voluntary.
Заставить дружить нельзя.
One cannot force a friendship.
И мы к вам, друзья, не набиваемся.
And we are not particularly keen to be friends with you. We are not begging to be friends with
Мы
you.
От вас хотим-то всего ничего.
Well, what we want from you is really nothing.
Нормальных, цивилизованных
something
отношений.
That is normal, civilized relations.
Которым вы нам высокомерно отказываете.
Which you arrogantly refuse.
Пренебрегая элементарными
приличиями. Disregarding elementary courtesy.
Впрочем, вы заблуждаетесь,
basic courtesies.
Думая, что у вас
And you're
есть
misguided
друзья.
If you think that you have friends.
У вас так называемые
you
друзья только те,
have, so-called friends of yours are only those who cannot say no to you. And this is the
понимании.
Sole criterion for friendship in your
Russia
understanding.
Есть,
Russia has friends.
И у нас, в отличие от вас,
and
нет
unlike
противников.
Yourselves, we do not have adversaries.
Мы через такую призму на мир не смотрим.
We do not view the world through that prism. And yes, international terrorism, that is our enemy. However, we continue to propose cooperation. This needs to be respectful and mutual cooperation. It needs to be geared towards resolving real, not imagined problems. And you should be equally interested, equally as interested as we are in such cooperation. Ultimately, as permanent members of the Security Council, we bear the main responsibility for the maintenance of international peace and security. Through the relevant channels, we already conveyed to the U.S. that armed force under mendacious pretext against Syria, where at the request of the legitimate government of the country, Russian troops have been deployed, could lead to grave repercussions. We call upon Western politicians to scale down their hawkish rhetoric, to meaningfully consider possible repercussions and to cease the reckless spillover of threats to global security. What military misadventures of the West bring about are well known to us if we consider the examples of Yugoslavia, Iraq, and Libya. And nobody has vested you with the power to act as gendarmes, as policemen of the world, and at the same time to act both as investigators, procurators, judges, and executioners.
Призываем вернуться в правовое
we
поле,
call for you return to the legal fold to comply
проблемы.
With the UN Charter and to jointly tackle problems that arise
задумки.
Rather than attempting at each step to advance your egotistical geopolitical games. So all of the energy needs to be focused on support for the political process in Syria, to which end it is necessary to constructively pull the efforts of all influential players. Russia always stands ready to engage in such cooperation. To conclude, Mr. President, point, I wish to take this opportunity to request an open briefing of the Security Council on the outcomes of the UN assessment mission in Raqqa and the situation in the Rukban camp.
As a member,
we see the way members of the Commission attempting to create a smokescreen on this issue, which is a result of their actions in Syria, including the operation to raise Raqqa to the ground through the bombings. No chemical provocations will detract attention from this, from what you've done. Thank you.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.